RSN 927 Summer Breakfast.
Macca, good morning and welcome back.
Good morning, Maisie. How are you? Are you grumpy today like Justin Langer was yesterday?
Oh, not that grumpy.
Gee, it was a you could cut the air with a knife at that press conference.
You could. It was going along okay, and then the Maxwell issue got brought up. And
off the rails a little, wasn't it?
Are you one of those people who, in that sort of situation, do you like those press conferences?
Yeah, I love them. Unless I'm the one in the centre of, which has happened before, where I'm the one at the centre of, it is good. And good on the journo, going back, and you got to do that. You know, that's the difficult thing to keep going and keep filing. But all it did was show how strained the situation is for the selectors and for Justin Langer as well. As much as he protests, you just wonder behind the scenes what's going on, the pressure there that's going on behind the scenes.
Unfortunately, as the Australian cricket public, I don't know who to believe.
No, you don't. And that's not good for the Australian cricket public because all of a sudden you're thinking, what is going on here? The smart thing would have been for Justin Langer was to just play a straight bat to it. But the fact that he went back and was so insistent just made it an even bigger story, didn't it?
It's like when you go and watch something that's like a bad concert or a bad theatre production or a bad movie. You're one of those people who, if it's really like cringeworthy and shockingly bad, do you enjoy that experience?
So do I. I do. I actually so do like that. It's what we live for, really, isn't it? It's what we want. It's what we live for, unless you're the person involved in it, in the bad production or or you go out for a duck or anything like that. But, yeah, just that little bit of cringeworthy nature, I think, works really well. We love it. We're people. And I think the community is like that. You see, that just goes off. Things like that go off on Twitter and social media, and it's what people crave, as bad as it can be sometimes.
It exploded yesterday.
It did.
You haven't exploded into the studio, though, this morning.
No.
Notice the
struggling.
A little bit of soreness. What did you do last night?
It was very hard to
You're
get out of bed
You're looking a bit athletic in your kit, but...
It just belies the... The pain underneath, I think. So, I actually went to cricket training last night. For the first time this year,
this
of course.
Year?
First time in a year and a half, 2 years,
right,
3 years, whatever. I haven't played for about 4 or 5 years.
You're making a comeback?
Not sure. Just waiting for offers at the moment. There's a Indian Premier League style auction going on. I'm not sure there'll be 10 cents for me at the moment. No, I just went to local cricket last night. My son's keen to have a couple of games. This summer, he's leaving his run a little bit late. He hasn't played since he was like under 14s or under 16s.
Okay.
And I thought, wouldn't it be nice for a father-son sort of McFarlane sort of combination?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be much of a combination because neither of us would last very long in the middle unless we were fielding. And went last night and very sore. Tried to mentally. I haven't played for probably... Gee, it'd be 3 years probably since I've played. Gee, my body is feeling really sore this morning.
Did you battle bowl or field? Or
last night? Yeah. All of the above.
Oh, really?
All of the above. So, not very successful at either or any of them. I was a bit taken
Are you back. A swashbuckling all-rounder? Or
no, I'm a bit of a more of a in there just... Trying to get me out. Which just doesn't take much really to get me out. But it was a bit awkward last night. I brought out the bat. The bat hadn't been out for a while, and I forgot that it was a David Warner bat.
Oh,
I thought, do I cover it up with stickers or sandpaper, or what do I do?
Just shave.
A little bit of batting in the nets, a little bit of bowling. Gee, the old shoulders are a little bit sore, and then fielding. That's about the only thing I'm good at is fielding.
Yep.
And the trouble
when
is,
do you field mid on?
No, I love fielding. No, I actually love fielding at cover.
Do you? Okay.
It's a bit sad, isn't it?
I actually used
to really enjoy fielding. I need to look into my personality a little bit. If anyone who enjoys fielding, it's a concern. But you can tell I'm a bit sore. And fortunately, I don't think I'll be selected this week, so that's a good thing.
So this is part of the fitness build.
Yeah, the part of the fitness build. Yes, which is. Taken a few blows already this year, bit concerning, but part of the fitness build, but not sure the body's very happy this morning.
Have you played a game with your son before?
Never played a cricket game with my son. So we were looking at a big father-son with a few of his mates and and I think that's something I always wanted to do.
Yeah.
Just not sure my body wanted to do it. So, and it's still out there to potentially, I'm not sure I could back up on Saturday anyway. So I'm very relieved that I think they've got the numbers. I wasn't sure whether it's Greensboro Cricket Club. I'm not sure whether Greensboro had the numbers this week and fortunately, there were a lot at training last night. So I was actually doing a little bit of a jig when I could see how many players. So it just might be shelved for a period of time now.
That's pretty good. A lot at training for January 11.
It was. I couldn't believe it. So, and we did some fielding games. I'm like, I'm not sure I ever. I played A grade many. I said, this is how old I am, Maisie. I'm trying not to put myself down too much. But I said to a bloke, I haven't played A grade since for 20 years. And he goes, 20 years? Is that long? And I went, oh, it's actually 30 years when I was a kid. So I actually can't do arithmetic these days either. I'm trying not to.
Oh, it'll be good to see you back out there, Macca.
I won't be out there for long, put it that way. The way my son was bowling to me last night, all I wanted to do was not go out to him. That was the key. Yep. So, and that was achieved. So.
I tell you what is amazing, how early footy teams start preseason at local level now.
They do.
Because remember when everyone used to come back in January and that was the start of preseason, and then they started December?
Yeah.
A lot of them I saw in October, around my local grounds, like, before the AFL.
That's lunacy.
And it's not only the senior teams.
No, it's the juniors.
The kids.
No, you're right. And this is bizarre. Out in my area and at my local junior club, this is bizarre. We had some of the junior teams training, doing pre-season before the Greensboro senior team were out there. I'm like, what? When I coached Maisie a few years ago, and I was going to say not so successfully. No, we were okay. I would do two or three sessions just before Christmas, just to sort of bring everyone together. Now they're starting early to mid-November.
That's ridiculous.
Boys are fit, I tell you what, but it's a little bit early, I reckon, isn't it?
Under nines in the 2K time trial.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to push them hard early. You get them early, you break them early, and then they're strong mentally. So,
yeah, just hope they don't go in the Adelaide camp.
No. I don't think we've quite done that yet, so...
Yeah, I was staggered.
Yeah, it's incredible.
And there's more people. You got cricket training happening in the background.
Yeah.
And they're doing a pre-season 2 weeks before the season starts.
Yes, exactly.
And then all the AFL teams are running around as well. It was amazing.
Well, I think our senior team, and which my son was playing 19s this year again, and I think they get back for a couple more weeks. So I think he's got to do a few little bit of running before now and then, I think. So
I need to do a lot of running, and I'm not even playing footy.
So do I. I did last night, and my body's paying the penalty this morning. You can see, I don't think I could back up.
I've given up running. I'm now into the cycling or boxing. They're my two.
Yeah, that's good. Boxing's the way to go, I think, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Enjoy that. Enjoy punching the living daylight out of a couple of pads. Just imagine someone's head on there.
Take the frustration out occasionally.
That's right.
I don't think I was very good at boxing in my junior days.
No, you don't have to be good. I'm an unco still. I look stupid. But it's good. Tell you what, you get a sweat up doing a bit of boxing.
Yeah, you do.
Tough work.
I had a bit of sweat going up last night. I'm like, this is not meant to be. Cricket training in the old days, you don't sweat.
No.
Please.
Not at all. Couple of text messages coming in. Don't forget you can get involved at any time throughout this morning. 0416 90 50 52 or give us a buzz 1300 652 927 if you want to have your say about test selection. I thought we were going to have a day without talking about test selection.
No, this is going to roll on.
Keeps on going as Justin Langer spoke. First text message in this morning, 601. No issues with Maxwell. BS. Langer didn't get angry for no reason. That's from Chris in Ballarat.
But that's the whole thing. We want to know the real story. I mean, if that's the case, what's the real story? Is there a personality issue?
Yep.
Rob Quiney thinks there's a personality issue.
He does, yeah.
No, I mean, he's pretty vocal about that.
Well, it's funny because Bryce actually thought the opposite. He thought, after the press conference, it seemed a little bit more clear. It was one of the only few clear things from Trevor Holmes that there was no personality clash, but not sure whether Glenn Maxwell would know whether to focus on white ball or red ball cricket. But as we heard from Justin Lang yesterday, he said he's crystal clear.
Crystal clear.
On what he needs to do.
They're just careless whispers, they are.
Yeah.
Is he a George Michael fan or something? Is he?
Must be.
Wouldn't have pictured Justin Langer as a George Michael fan, the spiritual man that he is. I wouldn't have thought that he was a Wham sort of George Michael connection there.
What would you envisage Justin Langer?
I thought he might have been a little bit more alternative than a little bit of Last Christmas and stuff like that. So, do you agree?
Geez, Last Christmas gets a good run at Christmas, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh. Poor George, obviously no longer with us, but the royalties that would have... That Last Christmas would have generated.
I'd like to be part of his family. Still going.
It's like Mariah Carey. Yeah, you don't hear of Mariah Carey until December 1. Then you don't hear her after Boxing Day, she's gone. She's done and dusted.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
A question off the SMS here. Will you be going with the Ben Cutting style highball catch technique?
Yes.
Did you see that last night?
So cool. Good text
message. We should retweet this on Twitter.
Yeah.
We'll put it on our Twitter at RSN Breakfast. Ben Cutting, unfortunately, tried to catch the ball with his face, which is not a great technique.
Well,
as long as
you hold it, it's okay, but he didn't hold it.
Oh.
Yeah, it was painful to watch, wasn't it? It was, and I'm glad, let's be honest, I'm glad I watched that after I trained last night, or else I may not have trained. But it was so awkward, wasn't it?
Yeah, so the Heat last night, 8 for 144. The Renegades chasing it down. If you're just waking up, 2 for 145 with almost five overs left. It was a comfortable chase in the end by
they're
the Renegades.
They're going okay again, the Renegades, aren't they? They sort of, they've had their kick again.
They have.
Because I think I was a bit worried that they'd fall over and the way they were headed, but they've actually had their kick again, and they were really impressive last night.
Yeah, well, they found one. Sam Harper. Can he play?
Looks about 12.
Runs like Usain Bolt. Oh, Jesus,
he's a star, isn't he? He's an absolute star. So they're going well, I think, at the moment. And I think is it right they've moved up to fourth now?
Yeah.
Moved up to fourth. And, I mean, they're the team you'd love to see them win, you know, get into a final, get into the semis, win a final, because they've been so disappointing, haven't they?
Yeah, even last year, losing in that semi-final to the Strikers.
But they've never won a semi-final, have they?
No.
Never actually won one.
They've always been around the mark.
They have.
They were always the lesser team. They didn't have the big names that the Stars had from the very start of the Big Bash competition, but have always been pretty consistent.
They have.
They just haven't been able to go
just to win that final, to go deep in there. But they're impressive at the moment, and really looking forward to see where they're going to go in the future as well.
Well, let us know what you had to think about that catch last night, or attempted catch from
It was
Ben
a bit
Cutting.
Like me when we started some fielding practice.
Under the high ball?
Under the high. Yeah, we didn't do any high balls, more.
Oh, good.
God, how would I go with a high ball?
The tournaments we always check in with is the Auckland Open. And a few big names, as we mentioned yesterday, out of the tournament. But to find out the latest on who's left, Alistair Hunt, who we spoke to yesterday, the New Zealand Davis Cup captain, joins us. Good morning, Alistair, and thanks for your time again on RSN 927.
Good morning. How's things going?
Very well. Now, I always do like to follow a man who plays tennis, and his name is Tennis Sangren. He's progressed through to the semi-finals. How did he go yesterday?
Yeah, he obviously, you know, sort of reasonably tight match, but look, the way he plays, he's a bit of a journeyman, I guess, and he managed to get through on those big points, looked pretty solid, and, you know, he's going to have a pretty tough match, I think, against Kohlschreiber coming up. But, yeah, he looked pretty sharp. I think he's, you know, he went fairly well Aussie last year, so he needs to be back in form, I guess, and he looks to be that way.
Yeah, last year he had a fantastic Australian Open. In terms of his prospects this year, what are you expecting from him? Oh, US Open, rather, sorry, last year, made it to the quarterfinals. Does he continue that form right through this year?
Yeah, I think he's just, he doesn't have the biggest game in the world. I think he's one of those guys that plays, you know, probably to a pretty good level, and then someone jumps about, you know, up above that, he might be in a little bit of trouble. But he's just a solid all-round player, and I think he's obviously looking pretty fit at the moment, worked pretty hard in the off-season, and then he's had a couple of good results here. So, you know, pretty straightforward sort of draw for him, I guess, and he just looks solid. So, you know, he could go all the way, who knows? And the way our draw is over here, it's actually really open. So, you know, it's anyone's game there at the moment.
And he'll take on Kohlschreiber a little later on today, who won yesterday over Fabio Fognini really easily as well. Were you impressed with what the German had to show?
Yeah, look, he always looks sharp and you know, hits the ball well, and sometimes he started a little bit rough, you know, at the beginning of the season, but he looked pretty sharp. But in saying that, you know, I'm not 100% sure how into it Fognini was. He might be wearing the same shirt again the next tournament, but you know, that's sort of that's up to these guys. They sort of use these tournaments sometimes where they just want a match or two, and then, you know, for him, he'll be looking to have a pretty good result at Aussie Open. So, you know, I don't know if he really wants to go too deep this week, but who knows, you know.
Alistair, I just wanted to ask you about Cameron Norrie, who obviously Born in South Africa to a Scottish father, Welsh mother, lived in New Zealand for most of his formative years, and now with Great Britain through to the semi final. How's the response been from the? Are you on board the Kiwis over there in terms of Cam? Even though he's playing for Great Britain now.
Yeah, the crowd love him. Look, he, you know, a good mate of mine, James Greenhouse, actually had a lot to do with him in his development. Spent a lot of time, a lot of years with him. But we still think of Cam as a Kiwi. And, you know, me being Davis Cup captain, obviously pretty gutted he goes off to Britain. But, you know, he saw the light and he gets a lot bigger check over there than and support than what he would here. So, you know, totally understand that. And he was at that point in his career where he had to make that decision. And, you know, he's obviously made the right one and it's provided, you know, the goods for him. So, but the Kiwis love him. You know, big crowd out there and they're definitely in behind him. And look, of all the guys there, you know, we'd love to see him win the tournament. So, you know, we'll see how he goes.
Flemington tomorrow and plenty of action up north on the Gold Coast as well. Dean Lester joins us as he does every week. Dean, good morning.
Good morning, Maisie.
A lot of work to do for you still during the week. Let up yet.
No. I think that comes about June, I think, so looking forward to it.
Trent Langscale, I've never seen a man practice careless whispers like him and Justin Lang over the last couple of days. Slugger, good morning.
Good morning to you, Maisie.
Hopefully no singing from
he's
you.
He's a crooner from way back, isn't he? Hey?
Loves it.
Jeez, he's come in dressed like it's middle of June. He's got,
I know. It's going to be 30.
He's got a
what was the weather? It's going to be 32 today.
Well, it's not 32 at the moment. Jeez. I was walking out and there was a little bit of chill in the air. You just got to be dressed to the conditions.
On. I feel like I'm...
So yeah, but Quinny and I, we're the same. Sometimes we walk out of the building, Quinny looks like he's about to go down to the beach and I look like I'm going to Mount Hotham. So this isn't unusual.
Mind you, after cricket training last night, I don't think I could have put long pants on today.
No, you need... Well, you need recovery skins like that.
Yeah, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Very stiff and hopefully your lungs are both still...
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. Apologies to the listeners earlier.
I like the Hawaii shirt as well, Macca. The University of Hawaii.
University of Hawaii, yeah. It's very good. Yeah, got that on at the moment.
This in homage to wishing to be at the Sony Open.
I wish I was there. It was 3 years ago. 3 years ago this week, I was in Hawaii, and I'm just wishing to go back again. That's the whole thing.
Well, maybe you can after Friday form this morning. We'll go through the quaddy numbers now at Flemington tomorrow and see what we can get for you, Macca, and pay for your next holiday over there. That'd be very handy.
Very handy.
Let's start, Dean, with race number 6 tomorrow, the Bluegrass Bar Trophy. Currently leading the market is Twitchy Frank, but this is a tough start to the quaddy.
This is an incredibly tough start to the quaddy, Maisie. I mean, nearly giving out Keno-style numbers here, but my starting point's Nantali. I think she's ready to peak third up from a spell, and there's a big key here. Damien Lane going back aboard. He really does get the best out of this mare. He was part of her winning run last time in, and I'm leaning her way. Flying Krupp's having a great preparation as well. She's won her last three, two in Adelaide and then at Caulfield last start. And Kayla Crowther taking the ride. She's won on her before. So I think they're two very good winning chances. Remember the Name ran well enough first up. Not that keen on barrier one for her because she's going to probably get buried away, but does have Damien Oliver to overcome that. Chance also to Twitchy Frank, as you mentioned, one of the favourites. She won at this meeting last year, 1,400 metres, and she's back in good form with a win last start at Caulfield. They're the top four, but I'll also be including 6 Amatensia, who ran well first up, and 10 Ocean Deep. But it's a very tough start to the quaddie.
No doubt about that. Trent, what does the market look like? Pretty much exactly the same?
Well, tough. As Dino said, it's a tough race and the market is indicative of that when you do have the favourite at 440. But there has been support for Twitchy Frank, who opened $5 on Wednesday and now heads that market at $4.40. Flying Krupp as a $5 equal second elect with Nantali, who has had support, open 7, now into that $5 mark. Remember the Name at $7.50. Amatensia has been one that has got out in the market, 7 to $8.50. Gina's Hope is also at $8.50, and you've got Ocean Deep at $9.50. So, as you can understand, that's why Dino's put a fair few in for the first leg of the quaddie, but Twitchy Frank has come into a $4.40 favourite.
Yeah, there we go. Well, I'm hoping, Dean, that race 7, the Paddock Bar Plate, over 1,100 metres. Hopefully we can trim this down a little bit with Order of Command being the short price favourite in this particular race.
Yeah, and he's the deserved favourite. this is a different class again for him because he was in a benchmark 84 last start and he goes to open grade and you know, he's a little bit out of the handicap here, so it's another challenge for him. But he's got such great straight track credentials, having won the grand handicap on the final day of the carnival, having won last start. When he went back to 1,000 metres, which wasn't absolutely ideal, but 1,100 metres tomorrow's spot on. I think he's the one to beat. I'll be including I'm Wesley, who's just a very good horse from Tasmania. He's been in great form. He's raced down the straight before and raced well. And if you're going a third, the little query runner here is Chauffeur, first run for Darren Weir. Horse that's been in the wilderness for a fair while, but we've seen the waters of Warrnambool work wonders on these sort of horses in the past, and it wouldn't be surprised if he ran a bit of a race first up. But if you really want to trim this down, I'd be going 7 and 1. If you wanted one other at a bit of a price, it'd be 9 Chauffeur.
Is this the easiest leg of the quaddy, Dean?
Let's hope so. Yes, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it looks at hopefully on paper. Hopefully it plays out that way. What are we looking at in terms of the markets, Trent?
Maisie, I'd say that Order of Commander's been one of the best back runners for the meeting at Flemington tomorrow. 3/4 of the support for the favourite, who opened 3.10 and now in the 2.30. And also there's been a better 5,000 at 2.60. Just quickly for yourself, Dino, 2.30, is that getting a touch too skinny for the favourite?
I think so, because, yes, he's been going well down the straight. But this is a good class sprint, and a horse like I'm Wesley's a genuine stakes horse, so it's another level for him again tomorrow. I think he'll measure up to it, but yeah, I wouldn't be entertaining anything under 2.30, that's for sure.
All right, well, 2.30 at the moment. You've got Invincible L, who is the 4.60 second elect. I'm Wesley, who you're definitely respecting, just out of shade from 5.50 to 6. And then you go to the double figures. Princeton Spirit hasn't had too much support yet, 7.50 out to 10. And Prezado, the best of the others there at 11. But maybe the 2.30, a touch too skinny, Maisie, for Order of Command, according to Dino, but certainly one of the best backed after opening $3.10 on Wednesday.
So 7.1 and 9 if you want for race 7. Race 8 now, 1,400 metres. It's the Chester Manifold Stakes just before 5 o'clock tomorrow. Couple of interesting runners here, Dean. Chamois Road, I'm interested in too, who was a last start winner from the Paddy Payne stable. How do you rate its chances ahead of a couple that are around the $4 mark in the markets at the moment?
Yeah, well, Chamois Road, I mean, the key to him is that he just never runs badly. 44 starts, he's been in the top three 34 times, so you know you're going to get a good run from him. It's a different challenge tomorrow. He goes up 2.5 kilos for winning last start, and he's got the outside draw, but he's going to be somewhere around them. I think he goes in the quaddy, but I like a couple down in the weights a little bit. I think Holbein's probably had a bit of a frustrating spring where he didn't really come up. He won a race at Geelong, but he wasn't at his best, but since then he had a freshen up. He ran well on Melbourne Cup Day. He ran well over 1,100, which didn't suit him, and he ran very well in the Standish Handicap last start. Now he gets to 1,400, where he's a two-time winner. He likes the 1,400 at Flemington. I think he'll give a great sight, number 10, Holbein. From 12, Manalo Blahnik, who comes through the Christmas Stakes behind Native Soldier. That's terrific form. He won similar sort of 1,400 metre race last summer, and I think he's ready to go third up from a spell. I like them down in the weights, but conceding chances also to Kabiza Devaka, who first up last time in ran in the Wink Stakes and was only beaten 3.4 lengths by the great mare herself at weight for age. So he's very well placed in this race first up and has trialled quite well. Cool Chaps trialled very well. He hasn't won for a long time, but I think he's got a little chance. And as you mentioned, Chamois Road's right in the race, but he has got a little bit of a challenge with the weight and the barrier.
How are we looking there, Trent, with geez, Kabiza Devaka, what's that at the moment?
$7, Maisie, and did open 10 on Wednesday. Okay. So there has been some specking there. This isn't one of the races of the day where the punters have really launched into one in particular of many chances, as Dean has outlined. Manalo Blahnik is at the top of the market and has been ranging between $4 and $4.20, and currently the $4 favourite. Mr Moneybags has been solid as the $5 second elect. We've mentioned Kabiza Devaka, who has been 10 into 7. Holbein at 7.50, hasn't been a great degree of change there. Chamois Road, who just keeps on winning, actually out from 8.50 to 9.50. and even a nibble for a horse like Takedown, who's been 18 into 11, and the chances don't stop there. You've got Call Me Handsome and Cool Chap both at 13, but an extremely open edition of the Chester Manifold Stakes.
Yeah, and we come home, obviously, in the lucky last, the Roof Garden Handicap at 5.33, the 1100, Dino. I am someone, there's no truth to the rumour that that's what Trent says at a nightclub when he walks into a nightclub.
No, he says, don't you know who I am?
That's right. That's the other one of the stable. It's obviously very short, but it's a big field. What's your strategy here?
Yeah, well, a little bit of a trick here is that I think two of the emergencies have got great chances. So at the moment, they're not in the field, and they're Tbilisi and Illumicon. But of what we have got in the field, I'm someone's the one to beat. He's going very well. He was impressive last start, and I think he's well placed in this grade. I think 13 Sir Callahad, 2 from 2 at the 1100 metres. I actually think that's a good trip for him, and big tracks seem to be his go. So I think he's a very good chance. And 8 Vane Stream, just back to 1100 and coming off a good race last start. I think he's right in the mix. So they're clearly the three for me. In this big field, but 5, 13 and 8. But if 17 or 18 get in the field, I'll be very wary of them.
So looking forward to seeing what they're paying, 17 and 18 at the moment there, Trent. What are we looking at the tab?
I will say, Maisie, the hiccup when you've got a race like this, and as Dino's mentioned, you've almost got to wait until tomorrow morning once all the scratchings come through, because when there are emergencies in the market, the punters do tend to wait because they just want to make sure who's actually in the field before they really get involved. I Am Someone clearly is the favourite at $2.10, but you've got Sir Callahad at 5, also Illumicon, who is an emergency, at 5 as well. Tbilisi is at 7. You have Vane Stream at 7.50. Even going down to a couple more who are rated highly as emergencies. Well, Queen Becky is at 8.50, and then it's 15 or bigger the rest, headed by Dinner Lake. But I'll say, Maisie, with caution at the moment, I Am Someone is the $2.10 favourite, but I reckon that once the scratchings come through tomorrow morning, everyone will know who's in the field. That's when the punters will get a bit more involved. They just seem to be cautious. Two things happen. There's either cautious about a market where emergencies are right up the top, or if they feel emergency is going to get in the field, they'll actually back the emergency, and then all of a sudden someone will be scratched at 4 o'clock in the afternoon before, and somehow that horse has got in the field.
Magnificent. Magic Millions continuing. Gee, it's a good carnival now, Glenn.
It's
that is
great.
One on the bucket list I've got to get to.
It is. I was thinking about that. The only scary bit about that, Dean, I reckon, would be that you'd see a
they
few...
sell horses?
Yeah, they sell horses across the road. So that's a concern, isn't it?
Well, it is if you've got that sort of uncontrollable urge to
which
buy
is me.
Horses. Yes.
That sums me up beautifully.
Yeah. Pockets are full with Macca
well,
at the
not,
moment.
They're not full because I'm one of those bad individuals that I declare to the wife what I've won. That's I know that's wrong, Dean. I know that's a bad player, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure what to say to that, really.
I know. But I started that early, and it's hard to get out of that now.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Oh, I think that's not a bad move.
There's not a lot of acceptance from both of you guys there, I think, is there? I can tell from the tone of your voice that... I've been in horses for 20-odd years, and that's a bad call, isn't it? I made 20-odd years ago.
Won't be seeing you flying in on a private jet then tomorrow.
No. Well, I was thinking about the Powerball last night and then the disaster of not winning Powerball last night.
Well, don't worry. Instead of 80 million, why don't you 100. Roll in with 100 million?
Yeah, but the Magic Millions is over.
No,
yeah.
I know, but next year.
Melbourne Premier.
Year.
We'll go to Melbourne Premier.
A couple of the races to look at. First of all, Dan, we'll check in with the Magic Millions Guineas. Race 7 tomorrow up at the Gold Coast. What are you leaning towards here, or anything you like in particular?
Yeah, I think the race virtually revolves around Outback Barbie here now, with Native Soldier having been scratched a week ago, and she's come up with the good draw. James McDonald looks well weighted, looks everything pretty well right. For Outback Barbie, really, to get the money, I think she's very well suited. She had the wide draw last start, ran really well before that. Her form was spot on, so no, she's the one to beat. The Victorian interest is with Zizis, who I thought is going to be a long shot, but not the worst, because Paddy Payne's had luck at this day before, and Persuader, who was a long odds winner at the Sandown Classic meeting, and yeah, she's going to be big odds tomorrow, but the favourite's pretty clear cut, Trent.
That is the case here, Dino. Outback Barbie was $2.80 before the barrier draw on Tuesday morning after drawing barrier 3, came into $2.60, and since that time now is into $2.30. Boom Sara, who won the Vaux Rogue Plate a couple of weeks ago, was 4 out of $4.80 after the barrier draw, and even as much as 5, but has come back into 4. But they're the only two that are in single figures. You've got Bondi at 10, the Fire Trap 13, and just scrolling down to a couple that you've mentioned, Dino, Persuader is 26 the win and 6 the place, and that's also the price for Zaziz. But Outback Barbie, who was unlucky in the Vaux Rogue Plate that Boom Sara won, is a $2.30 favourite here, Maisie, for the Magic Millions three-year-old guineas, which is race 7, and Outback Barbie is number 8.
Quinny will be jumping into that one, no doubt. Race 8 now, the Magic Millions Classic. A couple of good chances here, and a pretty even market. Is there anything you're leaning towards here, Dean?
This is a really open race. Yeah. The Victorian interest, of course, has been yes, 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 but he's had a bit of a horror trip up the highway, and I think he's being vetted today. Dubious, of course, trained by Kirimar, but we haven't seen him race in Victoria, and he's been pretty good at both of his wins. Champagne Boom won the debutante stakes at Caulfield, just drawn for a good run with Craig Williams aboard, and I think the one that's big odds here might be Movie Roll. I just think it's improving. Ran quite well in Melbourne first up, then won in Sydney, won her spot into the race, and just at the odds on offer, double figure odds, I thought Movie Roll had a little chance, but it's not one of those years where there's an absolute standout 2 year old, and probably comes down to who hits the race at, you know, in form at the right time. And even a horse like Unite and Conquer, we saw win the Maribyrnong trial, and he then won well in the lead up race at Wyong. He's got very good form, but the wide draw to overcome, but that has been done in recent years.
Dean, do we need a different strategy of getting horses to the Gold Coast, that we've got so many now being floated up there, unable to get flights and the like? Is that, in this 21st century age of racing, just not not something we should be putting up with?
Oh, well, I think it also comes down to your preparations. I mean, the Hayes Dabernig team with Movie Roll, Champagne Boom, they've been going gradually. They've gone to Sydney. Kieran Maher's obviously now going to have a Sydney base, but he's been just sort of trekking up there gradually with this horse. So it just depends on the path. I mean, Yes stayed down here to win a race 2 weeks ago. From then, I think they were banking on a flight, which they didn't get, and that's the first to be bumped off those cargo flights with horses. So that's always a big possibility. So unfortunately, they've had to hoof it up the road, and it may not work out.
How's the market? Is it reflecting the openness of this field, Trent?
This is a lottery, Maisie. You talk about Powerball last night. Well, this is an absolute shocker. It was tough before the barrier draw, and I don't think the barrier draw made it any easier. But since the barrier draw, I will say that Exhilarates and Dubious, they've been outright favourite, equal favourite, but as of right now, Exhilarates is the outright favourite, was $6 before the barrier draw, and is now the $5 favourite. Dubious, and talk about overnight sensation, Eileen Maher doing the barrier for Dubious on Tuesday morning, and gave Hamish McLaughlin a nice little hug as well. Dubious has been 6 into now $5.50. Unite and Conquer was the favourite before the barrier draw. Barry 18 of 21. Yes, there are emergencies, but there's been 5 out to 6. Zarson at 7. Yes, yes, yes. We'll be going from the outside barrier. If right, yes, yes, yes is now at 8. But then you've also got Rome 11, Hightail 14, and Movie Roll, as Dean's identified, at 15 the win and $4.40 the place. But unlike previous years where, Sunlight last year, even go back to Capitalist, another one, this is extremely tough to pick the winner. I will say, Maisie and Dino will certainly know that in the last 4 years, 3 of the 4 winners have actually come from the week before. That was Le Chef in 2015, and then also Hootson and Sunlight. Gold Coast didn't have a meeting in 2016 due to weather, but that's the path that Exhilarates is actually on at the moment. One last week at the Gold Coast meeting and looking to win on the 7-day backup.
Okay, there you go. Nice little stat there from Trent, just off the top of his head as well. Nothing written down. Bang.
No,
thank you very much.
Straight away.
That was typed a couple of times during the week.
You're not supposed to tell people that.
Quinny's not going to be happy with this. He's already been having a go at him about backing horses for the place, and not going to be happy with all these throwing out these stats.
Moving in.
Now, I am someone.
Time to get your formula bet for tomorrow at Flemington. Who's your contestant this week?
It's for Gordon Windsor of Tarneaton. For Gordon, we're going with $40 a win race 4, number 2, Ototo, $40 a win race 5, number 3, Mascolino, and $40 on the all-up of the pair. Race 4, number 2, into race 5, number 3. That's for Gordon Windsor of Tarneaton.
Good luck to Gordon. How are we looking there, Trent?
Well, for the Formula Bet, race 4, number 2, Ototo, $2.70 the win. And race 5, number 3, Mascolino, $2.15. That comes out to $5.80. And if half was in the chair, Maisie would just salivate because he loves Wendino chooses a couple of horses outside the quaddy legs. So race 4, number 2, Ototo, and race 5, number 3, Mascolino.
I tell you what, Rama is doing a lot of work on Instagram at the moment.
Is he?
On his, on the houseboat up at Ilden.
What, the shirt off? Is it the shirt off?
No.
Ilden has a serenity.
Yes. So we'll see him, I'm sure we'll see some celebrations if the quaddy gets up tomorrow as well.
Absolutely.
He's still a keen listener and a keen texter during the Friday form as well.
Very good.
So he'll be back.
You can sometimes give him a tip. And he doesn't take the tip, Ram.
No.
Really, he doesn't quite get it.
No, there's been a lot of tension about that.
There has been a little bit of tension.
Well, Dean, thanks for your time this morning. Massive day of racing tomorrow. Looking forward to it, as always. And then the good stuff starts to hit Melbourne in a few weeks' time.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Good on you, Dean.
Dean Lester joining us for the Friday form. And didn't see any hot beverages this morning.
No, he let us down again. So he was too busy putting his leather coat. No, well, it's not leather. What is it?
It's an overcoat.
Too busy putting his John Kennedy style gabardine overcoat on.
Well, I'm a Hawthorn supporter.
You are. That's why I said it. Had his 90th birthday not that long ago, a couple of weeks ago. Just not you,
legend,
John Kennedy.
Just a legend. Simple legend out at the Rico Centre, Waverley Park, just overlooking.
Now you...
He gives it the right name too, doesn't he? He doesn't say Waverley. No. Gives it the club.
As if he's employed by the club.
Yeah, he might be.
Are we going to get Quinny's best for tomorrow, or are you going to put yourself on the line, Trent?
No, we'll do both.
He's gone short again, hasn't he?
He has gone short, unlike his hair. Race 5, number 3, Hootson, who is $1.75 for the Magic Million Snippets.
Did he go the place with that?
No, thank goodness he didn't. And race 7, number 8, Outback Barbie, who is $2.30. So Quinny's up on the Gold Coast, so he thought, I might as well actually do the right thing and choose a couple of horses racing at the Gold Coast. So race 5, number 3, Hootson, $1.75. Race 7, number 8, Outback Barbie, who's $2.30, and that comes out to $4.02 there.
That's not bad.
He's double. Underneath Dino's price, but at least $4.02.
I like Dino's slightly better, but...
especially when they both win.
Yes, have you got one for us?
Come on, Trent.
I will be going for Hootson in the Magic Millions
at $1.75.
Well, open $2.15, and that was taken pretty quickly, and has won a Magic Millions two-year-old classic. So get these horses that are set for this type of race. Vedora was won last year, and generally it can be a good punting day on the Gold Coast. It is a specialist track in the way it's designed, but I think Hootson will be too good for that field.
Plenty of soccer news happening at this time of year. The A-League continues tonight with Melbourne City taking on the Brisbane Roar. And then tomorrow night, the Melbourne Victory will be looking to bounce back after their unfortunate loss during the week. But before all that, or actually just after the Friday night game, so we'll go straight from Melbourne City to Brisbane Roar into the Socceroos.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. Tonight they take on Palestine, a must-win to keep their chances alive in this group stage. And Archie Thompson, one of the best, joins us on this Friday morning. Arch, good morning and welcome back to RSN 927.
Hey, mate, how are we?
We're very well. Now,
good.
We want to touch on the Socceroos. First of all, the first performance. It was one of those frustrating games where we saw Jordan park the bus a little bit. Are you expecting the same tonight? And what do you think they can change in a week of training that will help them penetrate that type of defence?
Look, I think we just probably went a little bit overconfident to that game against Jordan. We probably knew that they were going to probably be the toughest team in that group. So we've got to expect that every team's going to probably park the bus until we make it through to the later stages of the tournament. But I've got nothing to worry about. I think when I look at the quality of squad, we did create chances. And, on another day, and, that's sport. I mean, it's just sometimes it doesn't go your way. It doesn't matter who you got on the park. And that's the frustration that probably most people find about football that don't really follow the game, is that you could dominate a game, and in any other code, you dominate a game, you win it. With football, unfortunately, that's not the case. But I think they probably won't go... They'll go into this game confident, but they probably won't go in overconfident where, you know, they probably were a bit off the pace last game, but I think they still create enough chances to give us sort of hope that we can make it through. And if we don't beat a team like Palestine and the other team that's in our group, we probably shouldn't beat them in the first place.
It's a good point, Archie. It really is. Graham Arnold said he expects a reaction. Behind closed doors, what do you think he'd be getting through to the players? What sort of messages would he be giving to the players heading into this game, which is not only a must-win game, it's so crucial going forward for the soccer this year, isn't it?
Yeah, I definitely. And especially for him, because he wants to go into that position to have the confidence of the support and the support of the Australian public. And, you know, that's probably taken a little hit, but he'd be in behind closed doors, obviously not getting too frustrated, just to show the guys that he's still confident that they can still make it. And they can. I mean, look, they've got the quality, and I think that's what's improved over Arnie's time. Last time he was in charge in 2007, he's had that bit of experience behind him where he knows how to get the best out of players, how to manage players, because it's not... And I think from a manager's point of view, it's not just tactically you have to be good. It's how you manage your players. I found that I've been top managers across pretty much all of Europe and in the world are the ones that can manage players. And I know that he's got that quality and he can bring the best out of players. And look, they won't be too overawed with what's expected of them. They know what they need to do when they put on Australian jerseys. I mean, that's just what it is when you play through Asia now. You're going to be the number one scout for most countries. And but I don't think there's any sort of room for panic, and he'll be just relaying that to the players.
You played so much football as a striker. The pressure going in, knowing that we need to score, do you feel that when you're leading the line?
Well, yeah, all the time. I mean, that's basically your job. You've got to score goals, and if you're not, then obviously critics are going to be on your back, and everyone's going to say, oh, why is he in the team, or why is he starting? And suddenly, you know, next game... some of the guys that had that critics or that pressure, they score a goal and suddenly, oh, yeah, we're going to win a World Cup. That's just how it is in those positions. But, look, hopefully we get to see a bit Andy Naboo back. I don't think Jamie McLaren's just up for it yet to be starting. Look, maybe more of an impact player. But Jamie, he's one of those players that likes getting behind and get off shoulders of defences. But when they're sitting really deep, you need to add another little element to your game where you got to get maybe a bit more involved in the build-up of play instead of looking behind. And that's probably something he needs to work on. But I think if you've got someone like an Anthony Boot that comes in, he can sort of, his time, I've said it before, his time in Japan, he's actually gotten a better player where he could be more involved and still make those little runs in behind. So hopefully we see him back. But whoever it be, I mean, I still have the confidence that we can obviously beat Palestine, and I don't even know off the top of my head because the names of Turkish Dean and all this. But whatever the other team in the group, I'm sure we can get a win, and we'll be sort of looking forward.
Time now to get on to the Melbourne Storm. Great announcement, yes. So we flagged this a couple of days ago when a few news reports surfaced that Cam Smith had signed. And in good news, he signed for a couple of years. To chat about it, one of the Storm's best, Brett Camorley, who'll know Cam better than most, joins us on the line. Brett, thanks for your time this morning on RSN 927.
Good morning, guys. How are you going?
Very well. Did you expect this to be 1 or 2 years for Cameron Smith?
Well, I think for the time frame it took, maybe the thought was it was going to be 2 years. I think Cam was probably almost going to be re-signed by the Melbourne Storm, and obviously to commit to playing one more season. I think he did very clever management work for the fact that Billy Slater has retired. I don't think they could afford to lose Cameron Smith in the same campaign or the same year. It would be a massive hole to fill. And for 2 years has been put in favour of Cameron Smith, I think is a good thing.
How important has it been to stagger the big three sort of leaving the Storm? Not that Cam Smith might leave after 2 years. You never know. He might have another couple left in him the way he goes. But how important has it been, that staggering, to introduce the younger players to at least play a couple of years with at least one, two, or even all three of them?
Oh, it's been massive, yeah. Obviously, the club was built around, you know, Slater, Smith and Cronk for a long, long time, and then they introduced other good players and turned them into rep players. So the key to that spine was great success for a long, long time. It didn't seem to hiccup them too much, I suppose, when Cooper left and went off to the Roosters, and they still got to the grand final. But, yeah, I think the Billy Slater retirement's going to be a massive massive change for the football club. The preparation he goes through, the fact that he's probably the best fullback our game has ever had. When you're a defensive player and you've got Billy Slater running at you in front of you, he puts you in decisions that you don't make because of the fear of having Billy Slater running in front of you. So I think this hole will be massive to fill. I don't think they'll fill it as easy as they did with the Kid McCronk sort of, you know, two or three halves last year trying to fill a position. So I think this is a massive one for them. And you're right, it's been really important not to lose the big three at the same time. It's important to be successful in Melbourne. It's important to have great players as leaders. And, I look forward to what happens in 2019 with Melbourne Storm. I think, finding a new fullback as good as Billy Slater is going to be hard for him.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge challenge, isn't it? Cam Smith flagged the potential of giving up the captaincy before the end of his contract, and he endorsed three potential future leaders. Who do you think it will be in the end, Brett, going forward?
Well, I think they'll build the club around Cameron Munster. Obviously, they did that as I said, the Smith, Slater, Croc. They've had those players. You know, Jesse Bonnet's probably, got a few years left in him, and then he's the other really senior player that's left at the club. Ryan Hoffman has decided to retire. So, Cameron Munster, I said, is that player they're going to build the franchise around. Kafusi, the back rower, I think, is a very, very good player. He's becoming probably the best back rower in the competition, but I don't know, and this is probably hard to say without knowing too many of them internally, the leadership qualities they would have at training or how vocal they would be, these guys. I just see Cameron Munster as a guy that's going to be the on-field general, the guy that will run the team whilst they're on the park. And, what Craig has done down there for his time has been ridiculous, to be honest. The success they've had under him, the development of the players, the recruitment decisions they've made, the program that they've got up there in Brisbane where they train them, they get them ready, they bring them back down to Melbourne. Everything has been perfect. They've had to keep reinventing players, but I think this challenge is going to be a pretty big challenge. Losing Cronk and Slater in the last few years and knowing that Smith will go eventually, this is where, I suppose, Craig Bellamy's challenge is going to lie, or Melbourne have got to get this one correct so they stay at the top of the tree.
Craig Gabriel joins us on the line. He'll join us every day over the next couple of weeks at the Australian Open. Craig, good morning and welcome back to RSN 927.
Andrew, good to be with you. And, we're on the eve of the year's first major, so it should be an incredible couple of weeks coming up in Melbourne. And certainly, let's hope for some reasonable weather conditions, but I know it's going to be blistering hot on the first day.
Yeah, sure is. 37 forecast on Monday. First major of the year there, Craig, and not Grand Slam.
You're learning, my boy. You're learning.
we do listen. We do listen to you, Craig. Now, I want to touch on the draw that came out last night. Yep. First of all, poor old James Duckworth. We were talking about him before. He must have walked under a ladder. He's got Rafael Nadal, and not good news either for Kyrgios and Tomic with some tough opponents in Raonic and Marin Cilic as well.
It's pretty amazing, isn't it? It is phenomenal. You do feel for Duck soon. He goes through so much physically because of injuries and all that, gets his way back into the game and starts having some results and feeling good, and then, I've got Rafa, first round of the Australian Open. But, you know what? While most people will say, oh, he's got Rafa, I think Duckworth would actually be saying, wow, Rafa, here's a chance, and give it his best.
Yeah, I do feel sorry for him, but we have seen him pull off a few big upsets against seeded players, admittedly not the top five or six seeds, but in the past at the Australian Open. Hopefully he can do it again. On the women's side of things, I want to touch on Ash Barty because yesterday she was fantastic again, reeling off five games in a row from a bit of a predicament, but fought her way through the match, straight sets victory. She's now won, cleaned up basically three really quality opponents on her way to the semi-final in Sydney. How are you sensing her form heading into the Australian Open? How deep can she go?
You can't knock her form. I mean, coming off the Hotman Cup, she played some super tennis over there, and then through to the semis. Last year, she was a finalist in Sydney, losing to Angie Kerber. Kerber is now out of the way because Petra Kvitova beat her in a rain-interrupted match last night. But Ash is playing some wonderful tennis. Love to see this. And I think,
for sure, in my view, she'll be top 10 this year at some stage. She's not that far off. She's about 15, but you've still got to get the runs on the board. And when you start getting to that level, it's tougher and tougher to get into the top 10 because of the ranking points and things like that. But she's got the ability to do it. I think at the moment, the way the draw looks, she should have a very good passage to at least the third round. So you get into that sort of a stage, and then the confidence is building even more. You've got that consistency I talk about a lot starting to flow, and anything is possible with that.
And Alex Dimonor obviously doing well again in Sydney, yep. Doing a fantastic job, and potentially a third round match mm-hmm. against Rafael Nadal would be outstanding for the tournament, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You reckon that would be Rod Laver Arena if that was to happen?
Sure,
I would say that's a night Rod Laver Arena match. But Alex has got Pedro Souza in the first round. And like Barty, I think he has got a very good passage through to the third round. Last year, I remember he came off reaching the final in Sydney, losing to Daniil Medvedev, and then played Tomáš Berdych, who was seeded then last year in the first round and got beaten relatively comfortably. So Berdych this year not seeded and plays Carl Edmund. So, but I think as far as Alex is concerned, the 27th seed, what strides he has made on the tour in the last 12 months, absolutely remarkable. So yeah, he's going in with a lot of confidence.
Melbourne United back in action on Sunday. They take on the Cairns Taipans away from home. 5:20 p.m. tip-off, Australian Eastern Daylight Time, so make sure you tune in on Fox Sports. Alex Pledger will be on the plane there, and he joins us on this Friday morning. Alex, good morning, and welcome back to RSN 927.
Good morning.
Tell us about the mindset of the team at the moment. It's been, I remember discussing it a lot last season, where there was sort of this turning point in December and you were able to find some consistency. Do you feel like that point's coming and something will just click for the team after a few inconsistent results over the last month or so?
Yeah, well, that's, I guess, for the game on Sunday, we're... and it's something that we've been speaking about in team meetings and stuff. You know, we have to, start treating these games like we're out of the playoffs, and you know, kind of scrapping to keep our season alive. You know, we're record-wise and ladder position, you know, we're not where we want to be. We obviously want to be on the top, but you know, we're not in a bad position, but, you know, other teams around the league that are kind of in that fifth and sixth spot, are starting to play well. And you know, if we want to hold on to that spot, we're going to, you know, just have to find a little bit of consistency as well. So, you know, I think our mindset going into games for the rest of the year will have to be, you know, like treating every game like a must-win game. And that's, you know, especially in recent weeks, you know, there's maybe been a little bit of just walking in and expecting to win, but you know, I think that's a mindset that we're going to have to change.
Who drives that? Is that Dean Vickerman, or does it come from Chris Golding? Who's behind a lot of those sort of talks around the club rooms?
Yeah, it's usually the coach and kind of like the senior sort of guys that have been here for a while. But at the end of the day, you know, doing it on the court, it's got to come from all of us. You know, we all have to buy into what we want to do, and you know, hopefully on Sunday up in Cairns, you know, we'll be able to put together like a complete 40-minute performance, because we haven't had one of those for a while.
Alex, how frustrating has the late game sort of lapses that have hurt against Brisbane and Adelaide, twice against Brisbane, in fact, and you're talking about Dean Vickerman, he was quite animated last week. How has he been internally this week in terms of addressing those sort of late game lapses?
Yeah, he's been pretty positive. You know, it's no secret what kind of, you know, that we've been struggling to get good